All right. Next up this morning, we have SMTC Corporation. Trades on the Nasdaq under the symbol SMTX. It's roughly a $90 million market cap, and they are headquartered in Ontario, Canada. Company is a global electronics manufacturing services provider. They do some things such as product design, circuit board assembly, and also do configure-to-order and built-to-order services. The company recently was a winner of a Frost & Sullivan Best Practices Award for customer value leadership in the electronics manufacturing services industry. Presenting today for the company, we have Ed Smith, President and CEO, and with him today in the audience, we also have Steve Wozniak, the CFO. Ed?
Thank you. Okay, so everybody knows the forward-looking statement in securities law. We're going to talk about some numbers, and obviously, there can be changes to these numbers, so give you that. We at SMTC, we're a global mid-sized EMS company. So for people who don't know what an EMS stands for, electronic manufacturing services, so when a company creates a product and they want somebody to go build it, we're the company that goes and builds that product. We do that in the U.S., Mexico, and in China. So obviously, every time our president tweets out another thing about China, it makes our lives that much more difficult to figure out what's going to happen next. So interesting times, clearly, over in Asia for us and our manufacturing business there. The predominance of our business is done here in the U.S. and Mexico, so that makes it a little bit more livable for sure. But we'll go and build everything from the green PCB boards that you see inside your electronic products that you have at home, all the way to the actual finished goods. And some of this stuff is pretty sophisticated when you look at it. We play in a semiconductor capital equipment world, and we'll talk a little bit about our market segments. We build things in the aerospace and defense world, medical world, and industrial world. So our revenues are up 104% year-on-year, so it's been a pretty good growth story. We have some organic revenue that was up 58%. Some of the other 104% was an acquisition we did of MC Assembly and Test. We did that acquisition in November. It was an acquisition we needed to do. We continue to expand in Mexico. They had a presence in Mexico. They also had a presence in aerospace and defense. We'll continue to focus on that market. It's a good market right now in the U.S. It's growing fast. It's a higher margin market for us. If you look at our EBITDA year-on-year in Q2, we're up 287%, so a good year-on-year compare there. And then you look at our pro forma with the combined companies, we're up 88% year-on-year in EBITDA. We pride ourselves on how we go to market in terms of quality and our customer service, and we won some awards last year in terms of Frost & Sullivan and some other global quality awards. And what we also did in buying MC Assembly and Test was we were able to expand what we do for customers in terms of engineering capability. So we can now take a product, if somebody has an idea, all the way from engineering the product, creating the product, and delivering the product for them. And so that's given us more capability than we had before. So we will continue to expand our customer base. We have one customer that's 11%, and then no other customers above 6%. So as you look at our 10-K and Qs, you'll see that we only call out one customer that has any concentration with us. That was pretty important in the acquisition. We were trying to lower our customer concentration. We had four customers that were in the 8%-12% range. We brought all those down to 4%-6%. Kind of interesting, as we started to look at MC Assembly, we were growing at a rate in the 30s and 40%. So when we started talking to them, they were bigger than us. By the time we finished talking to them, we were $210 million, and they were $140 million. And so obviously, we blew by them, and that took some of the risk in the customer concentration off. We have a global footprint, and obviously, we have two plants in Mexico. We have four in the U.S. and then one in China. We're in Dongguan, China, just outside of Hong Kong. We have a pretty significant purchasing organization in Hong Kong. So obviously all of the turmoil that's going on in Hong Kong has not been positive for us, for sure. We have a free cash flow generation, and we want to continue to deleverage. When you take a look at the two companies combined, interesting enough, we bought the company and actually wound up with less debt as a combined entity than we had starting. And so we were able to leverage and lower our debt. And in the end markets, they brought us aerospace and defense. We brought them what I would call visual or AI. We do a lot in the space of cameras and artificial intelligence with those cameras. The industry has been favorable. I think the electronics industry is going to go for a pause here. Lead times are down from 26 weeks down to the 8 to 12 week range, and I expect that to continue to slow down here for a bit. So our long-term goals: continue to grow double-digit through existing programs and through new programs with our existing customers. So we think that's the fastest way for us to grow, go get more from our existing customers. We only have one of our customers where we do 100% of their business. The rest of our customers are an active field for us to go get more business. We want to increase our business through world-class service with our existing customers. So we do a pretty good job for existing customers. The better we do, the more business we get from them. And then we want to win new customers. And obviously, there's a lot of customers we can do business out in the marketplace. Last year, as we put out each quarter, we've landed quite a few new customers. It takes somewhere between 3 to 9 months to bring a customer up and running for us. So when you win a new customer, it's not the very first day. I know everybody goes, oh, that's great. You guys won 3 new customers. The revenue takes somewhere between 3 and 9 months, depending upon how complicated the product is and where we're going. We'll continue to look at M&A when it's appropriate. So I always get, hey, you made one large acquisition. Are you going to do another one? I don't see one on the horizon today or tomorrow, but if the opportunity came in, we would definitely take a look at it for sure. We think there's a lot of organic growth now that we have plants where we need them to be, and we'll continue to leverage those. This is pretty important to me. I think if you're going to play in a field, you want to be the best in the field. You take a look at the gross margin, and it shows 9.9, but if you take the amortization, it'll look at 11.9. And to me, to be the highest margin company, when you look at EBITDA, last quarter we finished at 6.7%. That will continue to increase. So we think that number will continue to grow over 7. Our long-term goal is 8 to 10%. We think by the end of the year we'll be within that range. And so being the highest EBITDA company with the second highest gross margin company makes us pretty satisfied with where we are in terms of profitability. Our revenue, so that shows trailing 12 months at 328. We've put out guidance on the lower end of our guidance is somewhere in the 383-390 range. So we'll continue to grow faster than most of the industry and be most profitable in the industry. And for us, we think if we can be most profitable and fastest growing, that clearly gives us some advantage. Here's the leadership team. I won't spend a lot of time other than we put this team together over the last 18 months to 2 years. I came on board 2 years ago. I used to be the president of Avnet for their electronic components division of Avnet. Avnet's a large distributor, $26 billion. I used to run their electronic components in America and globally, their embedded business. Before I was with Avnet, I was with a company called Semtech, which was also in this EMS space. And we did this before where we took a company, turned it around, took the stock price from 35 cents to 15, 23 in 3 years, and then sold to CTS, which was then ultimately sold to Benchmark. So you'll see through that, all of these leaders have worked with each other through the past 10 to 15 years. Took a second. Okay, you'll see our where we're located. The company was founded in Toronto, Canada. SMTC actually stands for Surface Mount Training Center. believe it or not, when it started, was a training center for IBM. And Celestica was spun off as the production, and we were spun off as the lower volume, higher technically capable company. We do not have any more manufacturing in Canada. That has all been moved to Mexico or to the U.S. So all that we have in there is some design, engineering, and financial people. We have Fremont, California, so we're on the same street as Tesla. So it's pretty interesting. If you drive past our manufacturing site and keep going about a mile and a half, you'll run into the Tesla factory. So as you know, up in the Bay, it's pretty crazy with people and the costs. We have El Paso as a logistics center. The reason we have a logistics center in El Paso, you can ship out of El Paso and hit East Coast or West Coast, any part of the U.S. in 2 days. And so we'll build finished products for our customers. Our customers will ship to their customers, and they can have those products in 2 days. We go across the border to Zacatecas and Chihuahua. We run two trucks a day. We bring in raw material, and then we bring finished goods out. And so we do that twice a day. So logistically, we can move products pretty smoothly, pretty quickly, in and out. Phoenix, Arizona is our supply chain center. And then we have Melbourne, Florida, which focuses on defense aero customers and highly technical products. Billerica is our NPI center. So when you have a new product and you want to get it to market quickly, we'll build it in Billerica. They'll build boards in 5 to 10 days. It's not as focused on the engineering side of the business. It's really quick turn. And so we do that up in Billerica, Massachusetts. Then we have Dongguan, China, which is just over the border. So if you know much about that area, you have Hong Kong, Shenzhen, Dongguan. Low-cost region. We do a lot of business there that at this point is really suspect of what's going to happen. This tariffs moving from, you know, 0 to 10 or 25 to 30 clearly has an effect. Many of those customers are looking to move to Mexico. But clearly something we keep an eye on every day. We do a lot of purchasing out of Hong Kong, so we buy parts in the Asian market. We bring them back to Mexico. It avoids the tariffs because we can bring them into Mexico under one tariff code, build it into a finished good, and then bring it into the U.S. under a different tariff code. And obviously that avoids much of the tariff drama that we have these days. On the bottom of the slide, you'll see we have most of what we need in terms of ISOs. We can do medical products. We can do aerospace defense. We have the capabilities and certifications to build almost any product that you would want. These are the markets. And the way we split this up, just so people understand why we bought MC, you can kind of see MC was in a medical space. We were in a medical space. They were not in the semiconductor equipment space. We were. They were not in the retail payment system. One of the interesting things about the retail payment system is we build a lot of retail payment system. We're the one of the few that are approved to actually put algorithms into payment systems. So if you use your credit card at a gas station, a store, a lot of that electronics is built by us in the U.S. Test and measurement. We do a lot of cameras, industrial cameras, to hook on to artificial intelligence, AI, and a lot of that. So we're really good in cameras, and that might seem simple, but doing cameras and getting the pixels and all of that right is some very technical stuff. So we do that in our what we call test and measurement business. And then we have industrial power, smart power, and other clean technologies. Clean technology, we'd go anything that makes the world a better place. So smart power, where we save power. If you had meters, water meters, where it kind of keeps the water and saves water for this world, we're into that. We do a little bit of telecom networking business, and the defense aero is one of the main reasons we bought MC. We'll continue to grow the defense aero business. That'll become our fastest growing market later this year and next year. As you can see by the markets, you can see what's growing, what's not. Some of those are internal, why it's growing or not, but many of them have to do with the marketplace. You can see our aerospace and defense and why we bought MC. First, it was 0% of our business 2017, 2.3%, and it jumped up to 6.3%. Long-term, what we'd like to have is our aerospace and defense business to be 25-30% of our business, our medical business to be in the 20% range, and then the rest of it spread out in the other markets. You know, I talk about detriment or alliance a lot with our team. We don't want any detriment or alliance on any single customer. We don't want any detrimental reliance on any marketplace. And that means if a particular marketplace is hit hard, we don't want to have a major effect on us. So we measure this and we watch this of what markets we're selling into, what customers we take on, to make sure that we don't pick up any detrimental reliance as we go. A little bit about the financials. As we talked about our revenue, we've had a good growth story, and we'll continue to see that growth story go here for a little bit. Long term, we'd like to continue to grow in the 15-20% range. We like our gross margin to be the 12-14, and as you can see, we're getting close to the 12. Our adjusted EBITDA, we talk about 5-10. Right now, we're at 7. We look, and by the end of the year, we'll be for the year over 7, 7.5. We'll continue to see that get better and better. We're a scale business. As we can fill our plants more and more, our EBITDA goes up. We get more efficient. Our margins go up, and we earn more money. A little bit about debt. As I talked about the debt, we showed $86 million of debt. We have a we took a term loan A and B to make the purchase of MC, and then we have a revolver which we use for our working capital needs. Balance sheet highlights, cash to cash conversion. When you look at our marketplace, you know, we need to get that back to 67 days, so we have some work to do. We'd like to be in the high 50s, low 60s on cash to cash. We got to get our inventory turns up to about 6. So they have, because of the long lead times of electronic components, our inventory turns have dropped. We need to get that back up, so we're working on that. I expect by the end of the year it to be in the mid 5s. And by the early next year, we'll be in 6 turns. When we get our turns up, that will bring our cash-to-cash conversion back to the low 60s, high 50s, which we had been at up until November. So that's a little bit about our balance sheet. What we're trying to do is take two customer-driven organizations, put them into being the best Tier 3 contract manufacturer in the market space. And when I talk about being best, to me it's about customer service, being the best by your customers, and being the best financially. We measure our NPS scores, which is Net Promoter Score, so we measure how much our customers like us. And when I first came into Semtech, that was a minus 7. Last quarter we were at 50, so if you think about 50, you might say, does that mean 50% of your customers like you? If you think about Apple being at 70, you think about Cisco being at 55, 50 is a pretty reasonable score, but we expect that to continue to go up. So for us, it's important that our customers like us. Second part of why we want to be the best is financially. And as I told you, we want to be the fastest growing and the most profitable. We're getting the profitability there. We're getting the growth there. I think early next year we'll be talking about being the best. And then being dedicated to operational excellence and supply chain excellence. I think when you look at our leadership team, supply chain should be someplace we're really strong. No doubt about it, the marketplace, us coming out of Avnet, we did about 40-some percent of all the semiconductors in the Americas, so there should be no reason we don't have a good handle on our supply chain. So we got to get a little tighter on the turns and that type of stuff. And then vision, continue to grow and find if there's a good M&A out there, great. If not, then grow organically. So with that, we will take any questions.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what your customers.
Yeah, so the question is, what do our customers think about the whole trade war with China? And I would tell you, I think you laid it out pretty well. There's actually three actions they can take. Leave China completely, and a lot of them are going to Southeast Asia. And so they're looking at Vietnam, Philippines, Thailand. But there is really some skepticism that eventually they'll also be looking at tariffs if they don't solve the Chinese tariff. So there's some nervousness about doing that. Second, go to Mexico. But as you saw, and this is some, I think we live in interesting times. As you saw in the middle of last quarter, Trump tweeted that there would be a Mexican tariff, and then he waited till Friday night, where it was supposed to go in on Monday, that there wouldn't be a tariff. So there's really a concern about where to go. I mean, these things don't move easily. I was just at a conference with one of our customers, and they moved all their business out of China, but it took them 6 to 9 months to get it accomplished. So they're trying to figure that out, customers as much as we're trying to figure it out. But clearly last week didn't help with, hey, I want all American businesses out of China. I'm going to raise the tariffs more. That doesn't help. And we're small enough in China. So, you know, our Chinese business is about 5%, 6% of our total business. So it's not something that every day I wake up and go, wow, this is going to be really terrible. But our customers every day want to know an answer. And we have the same answers you have. Well, what are the tweets? What was the last tweet? What are you going to do? My goal long term would be in the Southeast Asia. So last time I ran an EMS company, I opened up a plant in Thailand. It was our most profitable plant. It grew. It's Benchmark's plant in Thailand today. So I would see that we probably would look at something like that. Well, that's a good question. I think the countries have much more infrastructure than they had 20 years ago when I was there. But the process of opening a plant and getting it up and running doesn't happen overnight, right? You got to go through qualifications, you got to go through ISO, you got to, you know, those things are not 1 week or 2 week processes. It takes a lot of engineering effort, a lot of quality effort. So my answer is, I think a lot are going to go to Southeast Asia. The customers that have products that are a little less consumer-oriented, a little more industrial, are looking at Mexico. There's clearly Mexico is going to be a solution. Mexico is growing at a rate that is truly incredible in terms of manufacturing. You know, the car companies, when you look at the automotive companies, over the last 5 years, they've opened 18 million square feet of manufacturing in Mexico. So, you know, we've been in Mexico for 30 years. So we don't, you know, we have a pretty stable base down in Mexico. We've been with our same work union down in Mexico for 30 years. So we don't have this turnover. Our turnover in Mexico of employees in our Chihuahua plant is 3%. So our customers feel really comfortable going to Mexico. But that doesn't mean, you know, the 5% that are still in China aren't trying to figure out when and if and what. I think what happened, you know, this is more of opinion, is when they first did the tariffs and the trade war, and then they backed off to 10%, people said, oh, this is short term, they'll come to an agreement, this will go away. When they started getting the bills, and then they started getting this rhetoric back and forth, I think people think this is long term, and I think Southeast Asia is the longer term solution. So IEC is a great company. And they've been through the trials and tribulations up and down, and they're performing really well right now. So I think Jeff's done a great job. I think their big secret is two things. One is they bought a company out of New Mexico that was really in the aerospace and defense only business, and so that gave them a good foothold in the aerospace defense world. The other is they have some really good medical customers up in their plant up in upstate New York. So no doubt they have a good foothold with customers. They've been, you know, longer term, I would say, more profitable than us. But as you can see, if you look at the trending charts, we're moving past them pretty quickly, which makes me happy. But they're a great company, no doubt. One more comment I'll just make. A lot of people say to me, why don't you buy IEC or they buy you, and why don't you two guys come together? And my answer is I just think it's too premature for both of us. So the most opportunity for us is aerospace and defense. So when I was running Avnet, our aerospace defense business was over $1 billion. I expect us to be able to leverage those relationships and expand. So part of why we bought MC was to get in the aerospace, get a foothold, get a plant that was certified. One of the differences between us and our competitors is we're not only going after aerospace defense through the contractors, we actually are a prime to the government. So we already have our licenses, our ITAR approval, our security clearances, so we make it easier for our customers to give us business. Any other questions? It's a great question. I wonder every day myself why our market cap is $90 million. I would give you, I think, the couple reasons, I believe. So when we came in and we announced our first quarter, our stock shot up to $5.90. We decided to take and do an offering, and our board decided to take some of the debt out. We had a Term B thing that was 10% plus LIBOR. We thought that was too expensive. When we did the offering, we did it as a rights offering in a CDO. And I think that scared some people of, why don't you put more stock out into the public? And why'd you do a rights again? Because they had done that before. So I think that hurt the stock. I said, I think it's a timing thing. People will see the marketplace and the EMS isn't very exciting right now. So we kind of ride the small cap down on that. But I would agree with you. I think I just went out and bought a couple of weeks ago, if you noticed, and I'll continue to acquire shares. So Steve bought a couple of weeks ago. I think people want to see the ultimate end result of the acquisition. You know what that I mean? It is frustrating, though. I will tell you, I'm as frustrated as anybody about it. But I also take it as an opportunity to buy stock at a pretty low price. We'll see where that goes. Any other questions? Thank you for your time. Thanks for the interest in the company. Have a great day.